Welcome to another edition of Baseball Chatter. Myself, Jacob, and Lennon will be breaking down the National League Central. We all know the Pirates are the worst in the National League Central, but who is going to win this division? Will it be the Chicago Cubs, who still have the core of Rizzo, Bryant, Baez, and Contreras to win the division back-to-back years? Will it be the Brew Crew, who have Christian Yelich coming off a down season last year and Corbin Burns? Can those two power them through this division? Will it be the Reds, who say Trevor Bauer who and be pushed to the playoffs once again behind the great arms of Sonny Gray and Luis Castillo? Or will it be the St. Louis Cardinals, who went all in the offseason and got the best addition in Nolan Arenado? Find out all of this now on another edition of Baseball Chatter NL Central Breakdown. Here we go. Jacob, Lennon, and Billy are back once again, NL Central time. Jacob, Lennon, how are you guys doing?
Yo, what's up, you guys? Hello, happy to be here again. I'm doing good. Billy, Lennon, how are you guys doing?
Good, nice, sunny day today.
It's a beautiful day today. Yeah. But yeah, I'm doing good too, Jake. Thanks for asking. Let's get started. So let's look at the Chicago Cubs in the NL Central. I think this is the team that actually won the Central. And then got beat by the Marlins in the playoffs last year. But some of the key additions that they had, they got Zach Davies, the big piece back for the Yu Darvish trade, Cameron Maybin, Jake Mariznick, Brandon Workman, Jake Arrieta, Trevor Williams, Jock Peterson, Andrew Chafin, Cole Stewart, Austin Romine, and a couple of minor league deals with which are some previous guys that have some MLB experience, Shelby Miller and Adam Morgan, a righty and a lefty. The departures, obviously, they lose Yu Darvish, Kyle Schwarber, John Lester, Jason Kipnis, Albert Amora Jr., Victor Caratini, Jose Martinez, Tyler Chatwood, and Jeremy Jeffries. So a lot of people leaving the Cubs and a lot of new faces coming back to the Cubs. Better, worse, or about the same? What do you guys think?
Well, for me, I personally think – I honestly think they're about the same. They're about the same. I noticed that they did get a lot of one-year contracts. We do see that Rizzo, Baez, and Bryant are going to be free agents in this upcoming season. So it's a lot to look at right now.
Right, yeah. A lot of things can change. Lenny, you say about the same as well?
Yeah, I don't see none of them coming back except, honestly, Baez. I feel like it's going to stay there, and that's it.
You know, it's interesting. I think the Cubs got worse. I mean, you lose Yu Darvish, who was phenomenal last year. Zach Davies you get back, but – compared to those two right there, I think Zach Davies is the lesser of the two. And then you lose Kyle Schwarber, a guy who's been there and cemented himself as, you know, a fan favorite, a guy who's going to put up 20-plus homers a year. And you lose that. You also lose the veteran John Lester. And so I think the people you brought back Jake Arrieta, but he hasn't really done much for the Phillies, been one of the worst pitchers in the league the past couple of seasons. So I definitely think they got worse. But you add Trevor Williams, Jock Peterson's guys with some potential upside. We'll see what happens. But in my opinion, I think they did get a little worse. As we look at the projected 2021 lineups, you got Ian Happ, Anthony Rizzo, Chris Bryant, Wilson Contreras, Javier Baez, Jock Peterson, Nico Horner, and Jason Hayward. And the projected 2021 rotation, Kyle Hendricks, Jake Arrieta, Zach Davies, Alec Mills, Trevor Williams, and Albert Alzolay. What do you guys think about their lineup and rotation? Any people that you're like, okay, these are some studs, and these guys where you're like, these are some liabilities over here?
One guy that I'm really excited to see on the Cubs this year, I'll say Jock Peterson. 30 homer guy easily, and we got to think about how he's been facing lefties this year as well. So if these are going to be good, can I get like an extra few homers, or it's going to be worse for him?
Yeah, and I knew you were going to say Jack Peterson. Big Dodger fan, Lennon over there, always just pumping up these Dodger players that are going elsewhere. He did hit, 39 homers, I think, a few years back with the Dodgers, yeah, and he was playing primarily against righties. He is going to get a start, pretty much, to be an everyday player against righties and lefties, so we will see how he does. Statistics show he struggles against the lefties, but he's going to get a shot, and they basically told him, like, look, come All-Star break, if you're batting below 200, then we're going to reassess your role here. Had a big homer yesterday in a spring training game. We'll see how he does. Jacob, what do you think?
Lineup-wise, I mean, like I said, you got Baez, Rizzo, Chris Bryant, they're going to have to play with the chip on their shoulder. Mm-hmm. Expect them to ball. It might be a pretty good – it's looking pretty good. Rotation-wise or – hold on, I'm looking here. I'm looking at my notes. Terrible.
You know, while you look at your notes, I'm looking at the lineup. They definitely do have some depth there. And just looking at 1-6, Hap, Rizzo, Bryant, Contreras, Baez, Peterson. Those are guys that can go out there and slug a little bit. That offense is going to be pretty potent if they can kind of stay together and work well together. And you have guys, the core is still there. Rizzo, Bryant, Contreras, Baez, the core that won the World Series not too long ago. So, again, Jacob, you mentioned earlier in the podcast that, you know, a lot of these guys, free agent year coming, and this might be the last time that they are together. Will that motivate them to push forward for another chance at a World Series? We'll see. What were you going to look at maybe the rotation-wise? You know, we love Kyle Hendricks at the top of that rotation. Outside of that, you got some guys that you're like hit or miss.
Yeah, well, like you said, Jake Arrieta, you know, at this time with the Phillies, it looked bad, like really bad. He either bounces back or he keeps going, but I mean, I don't see him doing as good as he's going to be. I don't see him – he either does as bad as he did with the Phillies or he doesn't. But one guy that I was looking at was Zach Davies.
Yeah.
He was pretty good. Looking at it,
he's definitely got some upside, yeah.
Yeah, he posted a 2.73, 1.07 whip, and he had 63 Ks to 19 walks. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
So I expect him to cover up behind Jake Arrieta, but it's a good upside.
Yeah, and you got another young arm in Alec Mills who threw a no-hitter last year. Trevor Williams coming from the Pirates, maybe in a new situation. You know, it's hard to pitch well when you don't have a team that's scoring runs for you and things like that. So maybe in a new situation for Trevor Williams, he shines. And then Jake Arrieta, he found a lot of success with the Cubs. So maybe coming back home, so to speak, in a place where he's very familiar, things can turn around. And that rotation could be one that is like hit or miss to one that's pretty solid. Some of my guys that I think if the Cubs are going to do it this year, the two guys I pointed out were Ian Happ and Alec Mills. Ian Happ had a great 2020 season, whatever you want to take from a 2020 season that was very short. He had a 91.1 exit velo average, which the highest he's ever had. 48.5% of his hits were considered hard hit. That means he's hitting them 95 and above. And he had the highest weighted on base average at 369 of his career. So a career shortened season for him. If he can continue that next year, it's going to be a great sign of things to come for the Chicago Cubs, because he's sitting up there at the top of the lineup, a switch hitter who could hit against righties and lefties, pop from both sides. We'll see what he can do. Alec Mills is an interesting one. I was looking at some of the advanced statistics here. He threw primarily just fastballs in 2019, but his sinker was shown to be the most effective pitch. So they actually said, hey, let's throw the sinker ball more in 2020. And it didn't really pan out too well for him. I mean, the sinker was still his most effective pitch, but hitters got better against the sinker. So my question now, moving into 2021 in a full season, can that sinker still be effective as it was in 2019? And can he locate well? Because he's not a high velocity type of guy. He's not like a Justin Verlander or, you know, a David Price coming out of the left side slot. He's more of a control type Greg Maddux like guy. And if he can control and paint the sinker around and mix up his change and slider around there, then he can be effective. And so those are my two guys that I pointed out. Any guys that, besides the few guys that you mentioned, Jacob or Lennon, that you think are additional guys that are going to be the difference makers?
One guy that I was looking at in particular was Adbert Alzolay. This guy's going to be entering his 26th, he's going to be 26 years old entering the season. While in 2019, he only pitched 12.1 innings, he posted a 7.30 ERA with 13 hits, 10 runs, 10 of them earned, 4 home runs. Now, that sounds bad, right?
Right.
But if you look at what he posted 2020, he posted a 2.95 ERA, 12 hits, 8 runs, 7 earned. Gave up one home run, 13 walks to 29 Ks, but 21 innings pitched. While it's a small sample size.
Right, so
following this trend, yeah.
Both of those years, right?
Yeah, but if you follow this trend going into a full season, he's looking really good.
Yeah, great, great, great. What do they call those, like diamonds? Like those
diamonds
gems,
in the rough,
hidden gems, diamond in a rough, right there. Yeah, Lennon. Other than Jack Peterson, who do you got your eyes on for the Chicago Cubs?
I will have to say, Baez. I'm looking at his stats right now. He did terrible last year, of course, but he did great in 2018, 2019. He did good enough in 2017, 2016, 15. Of course, we already know what Baez does, but I'm looking at him to have like a bounce back season this year, live up to his expectations.
Yeah.
And really like be in the core of the lineup and driving people in.
Yeah, no doubt. So a lot of good things for the Cubs. We'll see where they land on the predictions later on. Let's get into the Cincinnati Reds. Some key additions: Sean Doolittle, Noah Ramirez, Cam Bedrosian to the minor league deal, and D. Strange Gordon to a minor league deal. Key departures: Freddie Galvis, Brian Goodwin, Kurt Caselli, Anthony Desclafini, Raisel Iglesias, Nate Jones, Archie Bradley, and the big one, Trevor Bauer. Better, worse, or about the same?
I don't know. This is a tough one because they did lose Trevor Bauer, Cy Young. You know, dude was an absolute stud. I've just had to roll on. Stayed the same?
Honestly, about the same as well.
Yeah.
So. Wow, about the same for both of you guys? That, I mean, you lose Trevor Bauer, the best pitcher in the National League. I mean, maybe in the major leagues. I think Shane Bieber might have him beat from last year. And you lose key arms. Not only do you lose Trevor Bauer, but you lose Anthony Desclafani, who was a decent starter, really not great. And then you lose some key pieces in the back of the bullpen like Iglesias, Nate Jones, and Bradley. I mean, I think once again, just like the Cubs, I think this team got worse. But you're going to see that be a trend for all these teams. I think all these teams got worse. It's hard to find teams that actually got better. Maybe the Brewers got a little bit better. We'll talk about them later. But yeah, that's just my opinion. You look at their lineup, though. Their lineup is still pretty solid. They didn't really lose anybody in terms of their lineup. Freddie Galvis was the main starter that left from them. But they got Jesse Winker, Nick Castellanos, Joey Votto, Eugenio Suarez, Mike Moustakas, Nick Senzel, Kyle Farmer, and Tucker Barnhart. What do you guys like about that lineup?
That lineup has some good contact and power, yeah.
Yeah. Good, like, balance.
Yeah, this team definitely has. I'm just looking at 1 through 5 right here. 1 through 5, according to RotoChamp, all the guys of those right there, Winker, Castellanos, Votto, Suarez, Moustakas are 20-plus homer guys, with Suarez hitting 40, Castellanos coming just shy of 30, and Moustakas hitting 32. That's a lot of pop right there early on in the order. You look at the rotation, too. It's not too shabby. The top two guys, Sonny Gray, Luis Castillo, Tyler Mahle, Wade Miley, and Mike Lorenzen. What do you think about their rotation?
Their 1-2 guys are amazing. I'm just not sure about the last three. Really,
right? Yeah, Jacob.
Tyler Mahle, their third guy, he looks pretty good. Mm-hmm. 60 Ks to 21 walks last season, 47 innings pitched with a 3.59 ERA. That's good. That's something they would need. While you see, you have a lineup that's pretty offensive. Pitchers can have ERA that's, you know, above the 3.5 mark. Mm-hmm. So it's not that much of a loss if the offense can, you know, power their way back. But for the bottom half, Wade Miley, I'm not sure. He's going into his, age 34 season, it says here. He posted a 5.65 ERA.
Yeah, Wade Miley is kind of an interesting guy. Kind of been up and down throughout his career, has found some bright spots here and there. I think probably one of his most effective seasons was a few years back with the Brewers, where he was pitching some big games against the Dodgers in the National League Championship Series, but definitely a guy with some experience, some years on him, and maybe he could share some of that knowledge to some of these younger guys on the Reds pitching staff. And their bullpen's not too bad either, Jacob. We were talking earlier.
Yeah.
Lucas Sims, Amir Garrett, Sean Doolittle, guys that are high leverage type situations where they can go out there and get some big outs for them. So, if the Reds were to make the postseason again, because remember, this was a postseason team, and they lost, I think both games were 1-0, or they were shut out pretty much 1-0 against the Atlanta Braves, a tough offensive team. So, I mean, if their offense could have scored, it could have been the Reds advancing past the Braves. And the Braves were just one win away from making it to the World Series last year. So this team's not too far removed from being a postseason team once again. For me, the two guys I'm looking at are the top two guys in that rotation. We've been talking about it, Sonny Gray and Luis Castillo. If both of those guys can pitch well once again and lead this Reds club going forward, then I think this is a postseason bound destined team potentially, yeah. Especially around that powerful hitting lineup that they have. Who are some guys to watch for you, Lennon?
Besides that, real quick, I want to add on what Billy said. I honestly could see the Reds making some trades in the by the trade deadline and getting like a few pieces for that starting rotation and get like a few guys in the bullpen maybe to add on.
Mm-hmm.
But my two guys, I would say same as Billy, but since I already said those, I'm gonna say honestly, probably Suarez. I could see him easily getting 45 home runs, maybe leading in the major league.
Yep. They Roto Champ here has him projected for 40 bombs this year.
100 runs
added in. Good pick. I kind of knew you were going there. I know you're a big Suarez fan there. But nonetheless, additional arms for sure, potentially at the trade deadline. And also, if this team is not doing well by the trade deadline, you can see some of these guys leaving, like a Gray, a Castillo, and a Suarez. Those are three guys that were rumored this entire offseason as potential trade targets for other teams. And somehow, some way, they're still with the Reds. So maybe the Reds are saying, you know what? We like our team. Let's see what we have in the first half. Jacob, who are some of your guys to look for?
Well, I'm going to also have to go with Eugenio Suarez. Not only because he's going to be pop, but he's going to be the main drive to this team if he can really get hot when the other guys in front of him get hot. And Moustakas, because if one guy misses, who's there to back him up? Moustakas is going to have to take on a big role. Yep. If Daniel Suarez isn't, you know, getting up there and driving in those runs.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. Good stuff, guys. We're going to move over to Milwaukee, who actually made some noise this morning. Key addition, Jackie Bradley Jr., infielder Colton Wong as well this year, outfielder Derek Fisher, right-handed pitcher Brad Boxberger. Some departures, Justin Smoak, Eric Sogard, Ben Gamel, Ryan Braun, who hasn't really announced that he's retired yet, but also is just enjoying being at home right now. And then Corey Knebel. So some key pieces there, some good hitters back in Colton Wong and Jackie Bradley. Better, worse, or about the same, guys?
I think this is the one team where I could say they got better. Because they added two good defensive pieces in Jackie Bradley and Colton Wong.
Mm-hmm.
And also got some pretty solid bats out of them.
Yeah, for sure. I'm going to agree with you. And this is, I think, the one team that I think definitely, without a doubt, got better. They didn't really lose too much. But I like who they got back. Colton Wong, I think, is going to be he's a diamond already. But I think he's going to shine with Milwaukee, especially at the top of that order. Getting on base. I mean, Wong and Lorenzo Cain ahead of Christian Yelich and Keston Hira is dynamite for this Brewers team. But I'm looking at who they're replacing, like Justin Smoak, Ben Gamel, Eric Sogard. Those are guys that are like decent role players that can, you know, get the job done in some type of situational hitting. But Jackie Bradley, Colton Wong, proven winners, proven champs, and really good fit for the Milwaukee Brewers. And just to think that the Brewers were pretty close on getting Justin Turner, perhaps, like this could have been a solid team going forward. As we take a look at their lineup, we got Colton Wong, Lorenzo Cain, Yelich, Hira, Omar Navarez, Avisel Garcia. Actually, the most recent Roto champ, Avisel Garcia, moves to the bench. They put in Jackie Bradley, Travis Shaw, and Orlando Arcia. Their rotation, Brandon Woodruff, Corbin Burns, Josh Lindblom, Adrian Hauser, Brett Anderson, and Eric Lauer. Lennon, what do you like about their lineup and rotation? And I think I passed you up, but do you think they got better, worse, or about the same as well?
I would say about the same. I'll probably say like a tiny bit better, but really I think it's the same overall team.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think about the lineup and rotation?
Lineup is kind of solid. Main guy that I'm looking out for this season would be Keston Hira.
Yeah.
He batted .303 in 2019, did all right in 2020. We could pass that up. It's a weird year.
Right.
I could see this guy easily hitting at least like 24 home runs this season.
RotoChamp has him at 33, so maybe you're undershooting it. But, yeah, maybe you're more realistic.
Yeah, honestly. And then by the other guy, I would say Yelich bounce back season.
Okay.
From last year, he did terrible. If he could get back to the MVP level, I would say he's their easy guy that could get him to the, like, the wild card spot again.
All right, so those are your two guys as well, Yelich and Kesson Hira. According to RotoChamp, that's the 3-4 right in the middle of that lineup for the Brewers. Jacob, what do you think about the lineup rotation, and who are some of your guys to look out for if the Brewers are going to get back into the postseason, which they did last year?
I feel like their lineup's it's pretty good. The first year are pretty good, but then people like Narvaez, if I pronounced that correctly, pardon me if I didn't.
Navarez, yeah.
He posted a 176 batting average, 294 on base percentage. We try not to look at batting average here. We're trying to get past that. Yeah,
but look still. At expecting batting average or weighted on base, you know, different stuff. But, yeah, we're moving forward there. But we also know a lot of our listeners are still more traditionalist in terms of looking at these stats. So we want to have a nice balance as well.
Do I think they have what it takes to outgun people like the Reds? Maybe, but it's going to be a tough one. You got three or four guys in there that lack the hitting and getting on base, which is something you need to score runs.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. I think most definitely they have a pretty solid top two in their rotation in Woodruff and Burns. Brett Anderson, not a slouch himself, has put up some years, pretty decent years in the past as well, but is getting up there in age. My one question is, like, where is their power generated from? Outside of Yelich and Kesson Hira, those are the top two power hitters. According to RotoChamp, like, those are the only two 30-homer guys, and no one else in their projected lineup is going to hit over 17. Avisel Garcia is projected 17, and that might switch too because Jackie Bradley's coming into the scene, and he's potentially taking that spot away from Garcia. So, who knows? And Bradley's not a 20-homer guy himself. So it's going to be interesting to see where they're generating runs from. But maybe they play a little bit of small ball here and just hit the gaps. You know, there's different power. Sure, you could hit it over the fence, but what about to the power alleys, right? Hitting the gaps, getting doubles, getting triples, swiping some bags. So we'll see how the Brewers are going to do it offensively. I think that's my only question for them is how much offense can they generate? If they were going to make the postseason again, I highlighted Christian Yelich and Colton Wong. So similar to what Lennon said, Yelich is a guy that needs to have a bounce back year, which is hard for me to say because this is, what, 2 years removed from an MVP season. He had a short season last year, obviously everyone did. But if you look at the advanced statistics, he was still squaring up the ball and hitting it hard. So outside of the regular stats that most people look at in terms of batting average, homers, RBI, and stuff like that, if you look at the advanced stats, he was putting up comparable numbers to what he has done in the past. Sure, there were a little bit lower, but the expected batting average was much higher. The expected slugging was much higher. The expected OPS was much higher. So it was just a matter of him hitting the ball to where the fielders were playing him defensively. So maybe he'll get a little bit of better luck this year in a full season. But he's definitely a guy that I need to watch for the Brewers. And then Colton Wong, the newest addition, he's going to be seated at the top of the lineup. Can he get on base? Can he provide some pop? We'll find out. Who are some guys for you, Jacob?
Yelich is a good one because, you know, he's got to get that bounce back. He was an MVP caliber player, got injured. But, you know, he's the drive of the Brewers. He is. He's a guy that just goes out there and gets it done. He's a guy that can hit for home runs. He can hit in the gap for a triple. Doesn't matter where the guy is at. If he's standing on first or second, Yelich goes up there, big chance of him driving in runs.
Right, right. No doubt. And Lennon, you were saying Yelich and Kesson, right?
Yeah.
All righty. You guys ready to roll to the next team?
Can I put in my one more guy?
Oh, yeah, go ahead. Squeeze him in.
People – Brewers fans, you need to look out for Devin Williams. This guy has a chance at being your closer. He's going to take Josh Hader's spot.
Whoa.
All right? Let me just fill you in. 25 years old and in 27 innings posted a 33 ERA, 63 whip, 53 Ks to 9 walks.
Wow. Filthy.
Filth.
Devin Williams. So in that case, Jacob, are you trading away Hader, getting some pieces back, and solidifying Devin Williams as your next closer, or what's the plan there?
No, you got to keep the bullpen, because the bullpen's going to be, because you got to, the rotation is where your starting rotation is the big liability for this team. Mm-hmm. Woodruff, he's good, but you got to worry about the other guys. You know that, like, what's his name?
Brett Anderson, all these other guys.
Yeah. Brett Anderson, you got to worry about Lindblom.
Yes.
These guys are huge liabilities, but like you said, this team, you know, where's the power going to come from?
Mm-hmm.
While it is a big park, they also got to play half of their games away.
That's true.
And bullpen's going to have to make do, and they've got a pretty solid bullpen.
They do. They definitely do, and I like that addition, that sneak in there. Devin Williams was absolutely filthy last year. Can you follow it up? He's definitely a closer-type guy, for sure. Let's go ahead and move to the St. Louis Cardinals. Key addition, we'll say retentions or maintaining these guys. They signed him back, Adam Wainwright, Yadier Molina. Those are the two key pieces that they brought back, in addition to trading for one of the best third basemen in the league. A lot of people say he is the best third baseman in the league, Nolan Arenado. Key departures, Colton Wong, we talked about him. Austin Gomber, Brad Miller, Dexter Fowler. Better, worse, or about the same, guys?
I'm going to say a tiny bit better, honestly. But it's hard to tell, though, because Nolan, you have Nolan, like a great player, but honestly, I'm not really sure how they got better. Right. I can say they got better, but I'm not really sure.
Okay. Jacob?
I think they definitely did get better.
Mm-hmm.
They still have a lot of these guys like Paul DeJong. I always have a problem pronouncing his name. Goldschmidt. Now you add Arenado to the mix. Mm-hmm. It's looking pretty good. Arenado was the type of guy that would give you numbers that two to three guys would need to play together to give you. And he's in the hot corner. He's going to get everything that comes to you.
100%.
So defense is half of the game, and he's really good defensively. He's the best third baseman in the game.
You know, I did say I was going to say a lot of these teams got worse, but I think this team got a little bit better. I think you add Nolan Arenado, you lose Colton Wong, but I think who would you rather have in those situations right there? Nolan Arenado. I think even if you look at these key departures that they had, Wong, Gomber, Miller, Fowler, and then the other additional prospects that they went to Colorado, you add all those guys and Arenado, which side would you pick? You would still go towards Arenado, I think. So I definitely think they got better. Looking at their projected 2021 lineup, you got Tommy Edman, Paul DeJong, Paul Goldschmidt, Nolan Arenado, Dylan Carlson, one of their top prospects and top prospects in all of MLB, Yadier Molina, Tyler O'Neill, and Harrison Bader. Their rotation, Jack Flaherty, Kwang Yun Kim, Adam Wainwright, Carlos Martinez, and Miles Michaelis. What do you guys think rotation-wise, lineup-wise? Who are the liabilities? Who are the guys that are good?
I honestly think while the lineup kind of does have some liabilities, you know, you got people like Yadier Molina, who's a good catcher, but he kind of lacks that bat that would really separate him from the rest. And then everybody, like Harrison Bader, Tyler O'Neill, guys that, you know, really can't get on base. And, you know, one of the most difficult things is to get on base.
Yeah. Yeah, that bottom of the order definitely looks like it's going to be tough to see where they're generating some runs and getting guys on base. Lennon, what do you think about the lineup, rotation, anything?
I would probably say would be – I think I'm going to go crazy on this one. I'm going to say a guy to look out for, Adam Wainwright, close to ending his career, I would say.
39 years old, yep.
I see him going all out this year. Might, so then he could end off his career.
Might blow out his arm, going all out.
Yeah, all out. He did do a 3.15 ERA last year, which is not bad. That's pretty good, actually.
That's really 38 good. Years old, yeah.
Yeah. At 38 years shabby. Old.
So Adam Wainwright for sure. Any other guys you're looking for, Lennon?
I think that would be it.
All right. Not too bad. Adam Wainwright not quite ready to hand the throne over to Jack Flaherty, as Lennon says here. Jacob, who are your guys to look out for if the Cardinals were to make the postseason, which they did? I mean, there was a lot of postseason teams in this NL Central. Were there four teams in the NL Central that made it last year? The Cardinals made it. The Brewers made it. The Cubs made it. Yeah. And the Reds made it. The Pirates, they did not make it. So I think this is a four-team race again. Once again, obviously four teams aren't going to make it this year. We went back to the standard format of postseason teams. So, but still, I think it's four-team race. Who are your guys, Jacob?
Man, this is a tough one. Team were to make the playoffs, who would I have as my guy leading the front?
Okay.
It would have to be Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Arenado. These guys are going to have to drive the front. These guys are going to have to push everything they've got. Anyone that gets on base, hopefully with the zero, they've got to bring them home. Mm-hmm. They've got to do it.
No doubt.
They've got a good bullpen, too. It's not that bad.
Giovanni Gallegos, Alex Reyes, Andrew Miller, Jordan Hicks, guys that can throw gas. Andrew Miller, left side. We saw what he did with the Cleveland Indians in their World Series run. That came just short of winning it all. So a lot of proven guys in that bullpen. Some guys that I'm looking forward to are Dylan Carlson. He's not going to have a lot of pressure on him. I mean, he's got Goldschmidt and Arenado hitting above him. So, you know, they're not asking him to do a lot. So maybe now coming into a full season, a chance to show what he's capable of, why he's a top prospect in MLB. You know, when you have guys around you that are producing, it takes that pressure off for you to produce, and maybe that frees him up a little bit and he could put up some numbers for them. And then Kwang Hyun Kim, a guy who had a pretty good season last year for the Cardinals, was one of their top pitchers of wins above replacement last year. Can he follow that up again this year? Because they got guys like Jack Flaherty, Adam Wainwright, Carlos Martinez, who have proven that they can have some success in the starting rotation. So who are some other guys that are going to be in that rotation for you that are going to also get the job done? And Kim is one of those guys that I'm looking forward to seeing as well. Lennon's going to be having to leave us soon. So Lennon, before you leave, I know we still have the Pittsburgh Pirates to look at. If you have some guys that you have from the Pirates, then go ahead and let them know. If not, you could skip over that and just give us your predictions of this NL Central before you have to leave shortly.
At fifth, I would say, of course, the Pirates, no doubt. Terrible team.
And do you have anybody to look out for on the Pirates team, or you're just like, don't watch them?
Non-existent. Don't watch them. No one's going to say, let's watch the Pirates today.
Get out of here. Sorry, Curtis. I would say
the Pirates, and then I would say honestly, it's a close race. It could go, like, use it away on that next four. I would say the Brewers, Reds, Cubs, and then Cardinals.
Wow, you got the Brew Crew fourth, Reds, Cubs.
Honestly, it could go either way, honestly. Either way.
It can. And I don't want to get too far into it, but there were several predictions, guys. There's several predictions out there that have all five teams being below 500 at the end of the year. So, I mean, we're looking at one of the weaker divisions in all of baseball, yet somehow because of that weakness we have a four-team race for that NL Central. And everybody knows once you get into the postseason, anything can happen. So you call it weak, sure, compared to other powerhouse teams in the league, but you never know what could happen. So all right, Lennon, so Pirates, Brewers, Reds, Cubs, Cardinals. Why do you have the Cardinals winning for your last words? What sets them above the mark?
Honestly, I feel like they're better, like, well-rounded team with that 3-4, Goldschmidt and Arenado. Their rotation isn't the best, but it could, if a few guys decide just to – if they step it up, and I'm pretty sure they could get it done, and their bullpen is decent, I would say them. They could honestly go either way. I could also see the Cubs winning it, anybody. It's the Pirates.
All righty. Well, thank you so much, Lennon. Sorry that you have to leave so shortly, but great insight as always. Have fun getting back in school. Jacob and I will take us through the Pittsburgh Pirates now as best as we can. Pirates aren't the greatest team, guys. Some key departures. These are some big names here. Well, big for the Pirates. I wouldn't say they're like huge. like detrimental losses. But they lose Musgrove. He goes to the Padres. They lose Trevor Williams. He's over to – where did he go? Did he go to the Cubs? I believe he went to the Cubs when we were talking about the Cubs earlier. Yeah. And then Josh Bell, he went over to the Washington Nationals. Key additions, not too much. I think they signed Tyler Anderson, who was pitched for the – not the Rockies. He pitched for the Giants last year. A decent lefty to be slotted into their rotation. And then a lot of guys to minor league deals, which I'm like, well, maybe you want to give your minor leaguers a chance this year. Like, this is a AAA ball club, guys. Like, just no cap. Infielder Todd Frazier. They signed Todd Frazier to a minor league deal. Brian Goodwin, minor league deal. Tony Walters, minor league deal. Wilmer Defoe, minor league deal. These are all guys that have played in the MLB for previous teams, not like full-on starters, aside from Todd Frazier, the Todd father. But, yeah, so I don't know. Better, worse, or about the same. I mean, should we even ask that question? They got worse, right, Jacob?
Yeah, they definitely did kind of take a dip there. You know, it's really – I just don't know what the front office is doing or what's going on.
It's full rebuild mode now. But it's going to be an interesting year to see what guys like stick out, if any. Taking a look at their projected 2021 lineup, if you haven't heard their names, neither have we. Adam Frazier at the top of the lineup. We have heard him. He's a pretty solid guy. Ke'Bryan Hayes, Colin Moran, Brian Reynolds, another guy who has been – pretty good for the Pirates. Gregory Polanco as well. Anthony Alford, Jacob Stallings, and Kevin Newman rounds up their lineup. Their projected rotation, Stephen Brault, Chad Kuhl, Tyler Anderson, Jonathan Brubaker, and Will Crow. Initial thoughts on the lineup and rotation?
It seems to me like they really looked at it and tried getting guys that can get on base as much as they can, but I mean, you can't just score off singles and walks, you know? You got to have that drive, and I think that's what they're lacking big time.
Yeah, according to RotoChamp, which where we get all our projected lineups and rotations for this podcast, no guy in their starting lineup above 17 homers. But they do have some pretty good, decent batting average for whatever that's worth, according to you. Frazier, 262. Hayes, 272. Moran, 271. Brian Reynolds, 273. Kevin Newman at the bottom of the lineup here, 276. All the guys north of 4 ERA in their rotation, and only one guy projected to win more than lose, which, again, wins arbitrary number here. But it's going to be interesting year for the Pirates. Honestly, I'm not like Lennon and saying, you know, sailing the banks, don't watch them, da-da-da-da-da, because you never know. You might be missing – probably the next best player to come out of Pittsburgh. And you honestly just next never know what's going to happen, right? There's literally no expectations for this team. And with no expectations, you can find someone that just balls out and cements themselves as a decent player moving forward, and as a key piece maybe for some potential team that's running for a World Series ring in 2021. So you never know. And then guys like Adam Frazier, Brian Reynolds, Gregory Polanco, those are guys that have been there, done that, for quite some time now. And could we see a progression in their career, this next season? But other than that, what do you think, Jacob? Any guys that you're looking for, or any thoughts before we wrap up the Pirates? I mean,
the whole team, you know, these guys are just no expectations, like you said. And I feel like teams that have no expectations are the ones that go out there and have the most fun. And when you're having fun, good things happen. That's if they start having fun.
Right.
No, there's a chance that they might not.
That's true. When you're losing a lot, it might not be fun. Right. Yeah. So good stuff. All right. Before we get into the game, let's get to the predictions. You want to go first, or you want me to go first?
I know who I want. I know who I have up top. It's just that trying to fill in those other teams,
it's tough.
Yeah,
it's real tough. All right, well, I'll give you a little bit of time. I'm gonna go Pirates fifth. My fourth team, geez Louise, it's really tough. I'm going to go with my fourth team being the Chicago Cubs. Yeah, the Cubs. And then I'm gonna go I'm going to switch that. I'm going to go Cincinnati Reds fourth, Cubs third. Jeez.
No way.
Losing Cardinals.
I did not expect for you to have the Reds that low.
Yeah, I'm going Reds fourth. It's just because, honestly, in my opinion, I think they're – I love their team, to be honest. I predicted their team to win the division last year. I still love their team this year. I want to go for them. But I think if things are sailing – if things aren't going well, I think they're trading guys away and trying to get prospects and pieces back to rebuild around different people. So that's why I put them as the fourth team. Again, it's going to be jumbled. I honestly think all these teams could finish below 500. So whatever that's worth, I mean, I put them at fourth, but they might be two games away from the top of the division. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So
Pirates, Reds, Cubs, and then Brewers and Cardinals. Who's gonna take it? I'm going to go with any, mini, money, mo, could check by the show. If he hollers, I'm going any, mini, money, mo. Boom. Brewers are second. Cardinals are first just because of a random. Random generator.
Random generator.
Flip of a coin. Literally flip of a coin. That's who's winning this division. So I got the Cardinals. Honestly, Brewers could do it too. But the Cardinals always somehow are a playoff team, no matter what. You look at their team, similar to like the Oakland Athletics. They're just – you see who they got, and they just kind of somehow around
– Yeah, that is true.
They find a way to make it into the postseason. They're a pretty successful
team. That's what defense gets
you. As well. They added the best player compared to – they had the best addition to their team compared to everyone else in this league, in this division rather. So I'm going with the Cardinals. Jacob, go ahead.
All right. Call me crazy. This is going to be a shocker, but I've got the Pirates fifth.
Is that the shocker?
Yes.
All right. Go ahead.
Now this is where it gets tough. I honestly think, oh man. Gosh.
I know.
I think I gotta put the Brewers fourth.
Wow. I think you came in today thinking of them as the division winners, right?
I don't know. It's tough because you know, the more you think about it, you look at things and so you can it's crazy because then the craziest part of baseball is you really can't tell what's gonna happen either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so much comes into play. Yeah, right. And I'm usually always wrong with these, but I've got Pirates, Brewers,
okay,
Cardinals,
ooh,
Reds, and then the Cubs winning the division.
Ooh. Yeah, for sure. I mean, they got the core. They still got the core.
They have the core
moving forward.
They lost to the Marlins last season. They don't want to go out like that.
Mm-mm.
This is their last chance. As a team, because you know the future isn't you can't tell what's going to happen. They've got chips on their shoulders. That core: Contreras, Baez, Anthony Rizzo, Chris Bryant. They're going to ball. You add Jock Peterson to the mix, like Lennon said, 30 home run. Mm-hmm. Jock Peterson from the National League. He knows what he's going up against with all these pitchers.
Yeah.
It's just bound to happen. They have a pretty good bullpen, and their rotation's pretty good, too, except for Jake Arrieta.
100%. But another thing to look at here is, like, I'm looking at these starters, and not too many. I mean, the Brett Anderson on the Brewers. Reds have Wade Miley, a lefty. Cardinals, not too many. Most of their starters are righties. Pirates, they have Tyler Anderson as a lefty. Not too many lefties that Jack Peterson is going to have to face in terms of starting pitchers in there, so he could potentially go off and have himself a season. But you know what? I just love the storylines that you just painted right there. Last season, last time with the core, we went down to the Marlins last year. We didn't even win a game against the Marlins last year. The Miami Marlins, the team that was supposed to be the weakest team in the entire league last year, and we lost to them in the playoffs. Chip is on our shoulder for sure. We're coming in here. We're taking back a division that we won last year and moving forward. The storyline for the Cardinals, the narrative, we went out. The NL Central was up for grabs from everybody this season. And we were the team that put our money where our mouth is and went out and got Nolan Arenado to be the team to beat in the NL Central. You look at the Reds. Trevor Bauer, who? We got Sonny Gray, Luis Castillo. Look at our offense. We put up zero runs against the Braves in the postseason. We're balling out this year. We're hitting 30 homers plus everybody. And then the Brewers, Christian Yelich, former MVP, bringing back the Brew Crew. Corbin Burns, one of the most surprising righty pitchers in the league. Not surprising, really good prospect, but maybe he's the next big type guy like a Jacob DeGrom or a Jack Flaherty moving forward. The narrative around all these teams is unbelievable coming into next year, and it's going to be exciting things to come.
And then the Padres, I mean, the Pirates are just sitting. Yeah, I was looking at my notes. I had Padres right there because of Zach Davies.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the Pirates are just sitting there. They don't – I don't even know what their story is.
Their story is who thought that we would be here? Who thought we would be here? You know what I'm saying? All right, we're going to get into the game now that we got our predictions out of the way. And we got
time a pretty to play fun the game.
Time to play the game. We got to – honestly, if Paul Levesque could get in here and just, like, record a little sample, we just play that every time. I mean, we don't even need him to do that. We could just, you know.
Yeah, we can just get a
– just insert that there.
Yeah, from YouTube.
Yeah, no biggie. But let's get into it. This is actually a game that I created called Better Season Next Year. And we're going to look at several guys, and we're going to predict who has a better season in different categories. And this was inspired by our former guest, Garrett Ostrode, because I put out on my Instagram, any questions for the NL Central? And he asked a pretty good one here. This is going to kick off our game. Yes, who's going to have a better season? Jack Flaherty of the Cardinals, who had a tremendous, awfully season last year. Tremendous, awfully season. That's terrible vocab. All sorts. He had a bad season, guys. All right. Guys and girls and everybody else. Terrible season last year. Or Corbin Burns had a tremendously good season last year. So let's take a look at the numbers. So for those of you traditionalists, Corbin Burns went 4-1, 2.11 ERA. Jack Flaherty, 4-3, 4.91 ERA. Who had a better year? Obviously, Corbin Burns. Let's look at expected ERA. Jack Flaherty, 5.07, even higher than his current. Corbin Burns, 2.11 ERA. Expected ERA, 3.20. So that kind of scared me. I was like, whoa, a whole one run expected? So let's take a look at some advanced stats for those of you who out there who love the advanced numbers. Corbin Burns was top 9% in weighted on-base average, top 4% in strikeout percentage, 100th percentile ranked in fastball spin. I mean, he had the best fastball spin last season, and top 5% in curve spin. Jack Flaherty, exit velo was 87.7 on average, the highest it's ever been. Expecting batting average against was 262, the highest it's ever been. Expected slugging at 432, the highest it's ever been. And lastly, expected weighted on base average, 341. You guessed it, the highest it's ever been. So, who has a better season in 2021? He's asking, Jack Flaherty or Corbin Burns? Go ahead, Jacob.
Gosh, you just threw all this information at me, and as a casual, my mind is blown, but...
Crazy stuff.
It is crazy stuff. I had to sit there and think about it. Who has the better season? You're either a type of person that follows chaos, or you follow the trend. Mm-hmm. I'm the type of person that likes to look at the trend, so I would have to go with Burns.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. You know what? Just to go against you, I'm going to go Jack Flaherty. I honestly, I came in here thinking Corbin Burns, just because I love the trends and want to see the trends. Small sample size last year, but I do think he's that good. But Jack Flaherty is also a bright young arm who just had a awful year last year. And here's the thing that I'm going to talk about here. I think Jack Flaherty offensively is going to get more runs supported behind him than Corbin Burns. Now, obviously that might give Jack Flaherty more wins, but we're looking at beyond just the win column here. I think when you're a pitcher and you go out there and you know your team's going to put up runs, you have a little bit of pressure relieved from your shoulders. And you're like, I'm going to go out there and attack these guys even more so. Because I've got a 4-run lead after the first inning because Nolan Arenado hit a grand slam. Whereas Corbin Burns might be in closer games, which on the contrary, there are some guys who get fired up and pitch better in close game situations. And I do think Corbin Burns is that type of guy. But I think, you know what, just to go against you, Jack Flaherty, better year. All righty, our next question. Better corner infield duo, Anthony Rizzo and Chris Bryant, Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Arenado. Now, the category we're going to track here is RBIs. So which 3-4 hitters, which corner infield, first base, third base combo is going to collectively drive in more runs? Now, we know that's a bad number to look at as well for you advanced fans out there. Because, you know, it relies on other guys getting on base and all these other stuff in terms of run speed and on base running skills and ballparks, all that fancy stuff. But just for fun, let's just say who's going to drive in more runs. What do you think, Jake?
Okay, so it's down to Rizzo.
Rizzo and Bryant, Goldie and Arenado.
I've got to think about this. I got to channel my inner chakra.
He's bringing out the chakra.
I got to go with my boy Matt Olson and Matt Chapman. I'm just playing.
We're going back to the AL West.
No, I honestly think this is a close one because they're both pretty good. This is a pretty good duo, but I got to give
corner
it.
Corner infielder.
Yeah. Oh, I got to give it to Rizzo and Bryant.
Okay. We're going to drive in more. Nicely done there. I'm going to go Goldie and Arenado. I think that was my gut coming in, and I'm going to stick with it. I think Busch Stadium is a little bit of a more homer hitting ballpark, and I think when you could hit homers, you're going to drive in more runs. That seems to correlate. So I'm going to go with that. I think Rizzo and Bryant are going to be pretty close up there, but at the end of the day, playing in Wrigley, if the wind's blowing in, the ball ain't leaving. But it is a big, spacious ballpark to, you know, get some doubles and triples and things like that. And if guys get on base for them, then they could easily pass them. But once again, we're in disagreement. Our next question here. Better pitcher next year. Adam Wainwright entering age 39 or Jake Arrieta entering age 34?
Gosh, is this even a question?
I mean, hey. Two older type guys. Jake Arrieta seems a lot older than he is.
He pitches a lot older than he is.
Right? Yeah. So what do you think?
I got to go with Jake Arrieta.
Yeah, I'm sticking with Arrieta too. No disrespect against Wainwright. Phenomenal career.
Statistically, are we talking like who's going to be better or out of the two?
Yeah, I'm just saying out of the two, who's just going to have a better year?
Oh, yeah. I feel like Jake Arrieta. He's going to bounce back. He's going to come. He's going to
– I do.
How old is he? 35? He's going to be 35?
34. Maybe he turns 35 during the year, but right now he's 34.
Okay, 34.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know the Cubs. There's just something about it.
Nice.
Yeah, everything's going to go right for them.
Yeah, and I think he's coming back to a place where he dominated.
Yeah.
He threw two no-hitters in 1 year with the Cubs. Like, this is a former NL Cy Young type guy. He's going to ball out, I think. He's going to shock some fans out there. He was awful with the Phillies, but he's coming back home.
Coming back home.
Next question. Better wins above replacement next year. Better WAR next year. Dylan Carlson, the prize prospect for the Cardinals, who's going to get a full season in a starting gig, or any position player from the Pirates?
Oh, man. Why would you do this to me?
Any position. So play the field or Dylan Carlson? What do you got?
Dylan Carlson, man. He's – I mean, look, okay, that wasn't my answer. I'm thinking right now. He didn't do so hot last season, but that was only small sample size. He is a top prospect for them. We saw the same with Gavin Lux. Kind of took a dip. Do you expect him to bounce back?
Yeah.
I expect Gavin to bounce back. I think Carlson's going to bounce back too, but wins above replacement. Who's going to have a position player? I got to go with Dylan Carlson. Yeah.
Okay. Dylan Carlson in 35 games last year, 200 average, 252 on base, 3 homers, 16 ribbies. had a zero WAR, so absolutely zero last year. So, but he wasn't negative. Like, he could be worse.
Yeah.
And again, we mentioned, you know, adding guys like Arenado around the team, that's going to relieve some pressure off him to produce offensively. So I think Dylan Carlson's going to have a good year, but I'm going to go any position player from the Pirates. I think somebody is going to stand out next year for the Pirates. I don't know who yet, but they're going to do it. And I'm going to go, yeah, I'm taking the field, taking the Pirates, anybody.
Oh, you're taking the field.
Any position player for the Pirates.
Pirates in the outfield.
All righty. Most homers next year. Arenado, Bryant, or Suarez. So we're looking at power hitting third basemen here. Nolan Arenado last year, for reference, hit 8 homers. Arenado in 2019, in case 2020 wasn't good enough for you, 41. And his career high is 42 back in 2015. Now, Chris Bryant only had 4 last year. 31 in 2019 and a career high of 39 in 2016. I believe that was the year he had the NL MVP. Suarez, 2020, 15 homers and 49 in 2019, which is also his career high. So Suarez recently, 15 homers, surpasses Arenado and Bryant, and 49 surpasses them all in 2019 and also had the highest career high. But in 2021, who's taking the home run title for third baseman in NL Central's dial?
Man, this is also a tough one. You gotta count Fields. Arenado isn't in Colorado anymore.
Mm-mm. Bryant's in a tough ballpark. Suarez is probably in the best hitter friendly ballpark, Great American. That ball flies. So I think Suarez definitely has the better field a majority of the time. But you also gotta look at, you know, who's just gonna have a great year.
Yeah.
So
that is true. Who catches the ball more?
I'm going to say Suarez.
I was thinking Suarez too, yeah.
I'm going to follow the trend. The guy hit 49 and then 15 in a shortened season. He's
a power hitter.
He's going to hit 40 again next year. He might hit 50. You're going Suarez as well?
Yeah.
All righty. Last question here to round up our podcast episode of the NL Central. More likely to happen next year, the Pirates lose 110 games or every NL Central team is below 500. More likely to happen next year. Pirates lose 110 games. And for those of you who are wondering, like, what is the record for most losses in a season? I looked that up for you. Most recently, the Tigers lost 119 games in 2003, won 43 games that year. In 1899, this is ages ago, the Cleveland Spiders lost 134 games and won 20. So, could you imagine going 20 and 134?
They were not having fun.
I mean, the Tigers, even in 2003, this isn't like modern day baseball now. 43 and 119. So Pirates, are they at that level? Will they lose 110 games? Or is every NL Central team going to be below 500? What's more likely to happen, Jake?
This is these questions that are killing me because I'm sitting here and I'm like, both of these could happen at the same time.
Oh, are you going to say both? Both happen?
Can we? I gotta put this up on. What is it? Bravado?
Right, Bovada or whatever.
Bovada.
Put it on all the sports gambling.
It could either be both, but which one's most likely to happen?
I know you're a big fan of FanGraphs, and FanGraphs predicts that all NL Central teams are below 500. I think they have the Brewers or Cardinals, one of them winning the division at 80 and 82.
But, like, come on. You're sitting here and telling me that all of these teams are going to finish under 500?
You never know. I mean, they're so the top four teams are all, like, pretty much equal. Like, you don't know where they're going to end up. So it's pretty close. And let me just pull up here the 2020 standings because I think it was pretty close for all of them finishing below 500 as well. So the Cubs went 34-26. Cardinals 30-28. Reds 31-29. Brewers 29-31. So it almost happened. And then the Pirates 19-41. In a long season.
19-41?
Where you're playing more than just, you know, your NL Central teams or your AL Central teams, you know, and you never know.
I honestly think there's a bigger chance of the Pirates finishing at 112.
Okay.
Than all four of them finishing below 500.
I'm going to agree with you. I think the Pirates are one of the worst teams we've seen in quite some time.
We thought the Mariners were bad.
Jeez, and they made the postseason. So you never know. You predicted one team to have like 3 wins last year.
Did I?
No. No, we have to go back and check.
Oh, yeah, we have to go back and check.
But, yeah, you know what? The Pirates are a bad team. 110 games. I think that's more likely than every team finishing below 500. That'll be pretty crazy if that happens. I should have looked it up, but I do not know if that's ever happened.
Is that even possible?
It's definitely possible.
They just have to lose every game against. It's definitely
possible. I don't know. But think about it. If you go 500 against every team and then you just lose all your games against the other teams. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah, like let's say you win an even amount of games. So if all Central teams faced each other.
And they just even out against each other and they're all 500. Yeah. Then they go up against like the Dodgers and Padres and Yankees.
And then they lose and they just those.
Lose a majority of those. Then they're below 500.
That's what are the odds on that? We need to get some odds on that.
We got to get some odds.
Probabilities.
On
yeah.
Right. Yeah. But I think that was a pretty fun game. Probably one of our better games.
It was pretty good.
you know, it was pretty fun. Pretty fun figuring out some of these questions to do as well. But that's going to wrap it up for Jacob, Lennon, and I. Lennon had to bounce earlier, but those are our predictions. Those are our games. Let us know if you have any questions moving forward. We got the American League Central coming to you next week on Thursday, and it's going to be a good one. Who's going to win the AL Central? The Tigers? Tigers were a pretty good team last year. The Twins? The Royals did a lot of things in the offseason. The White Sox? Pretty solid. The Indians are always over there, and I think they're supposed to be producing a new team name soon. I don't know when, but
can we
Cleveland something
petition to get rid of the Rangers?
Yeah, well, that would be a separate podcast too. But we definitely do need a petition to get rid of that Texas Rangers name.
Yeah, all because they wanted to get mad at Tatis as well for swinging 3-0.
Oh man, that's you saw he hit a grand slam the other day.
Okay, look, I was looking when I was like kind of researching. I forgot. Hold on. Listen right. to this.
I'm listening.
Lindblom,
uh-huh.
Who I considered a liability in my notes at age 34,
uh-huh.
Repped a 5.16 ERA in 45 innings pitched.
Bruh.
Loaded the bases in his first spring training start, hitting 2 batters.
Oof. And then he gave up the grand slam?
No, this is Lindblom. I don't think he was that wasn't him. But I'm just saying. Talking about spring training liabilities. Wow. Not a good start for the Brewers.
No, not a good start at all. All right.
Did you also hear a John Lester's out for the season as well?
Yeah, John Lester went down with an injury. I saw that yesterday. Kyle Lewis. Who's the top prospect for the Twins? I forget his name right now.
Royce
Lewis.
Yeah.
Royce Lewis, ACL injury. Tough break for them as well. Not sure if he would have had the time to play this upcoming year or not. But
no injury is welcome at all.
No, not at all. Not at all. But yeah, that's just a little off the cuff. Maybe we should do a podcast like after hours or what is it? Baseball chatter after dark. And us just, you know, sitting here talking about different things like the ending of this.
Slow pace, you know, right. Next to your fire. Your fire pit or your fireplace.
Fireside chat. All right, Jacob. Any last words before we wrap this up?
Thank you guys for sitting here and listening to us talk baseball. For those of you who stuck all the way to the end, pardon me. I got flustered at the beginning with my notes. Everything went all over the place, but
jeez,
we picked it up good, right?
Yeah, honestly, I think it was probably one of our better episodes. So thanks to thanks if you listened all the way through. If you didn't, we don't like you. And you probably didn't hear that because you didn't get to the end of the episode. So no worries. But if you made it here, we love you so much and we can't wait to have you on an episode of Baseball Chatter. And spoiler alert, you already know that the AL Central is coming next week on Thursday. But we may have one of our most special guests up to date, potentially. I won't even give you potentially who it's going to be, but I'll just leave it at that. All right, that's going to end the episode. Yep. Adios for Jacob Lennon and I. We'll see you next
week. Pirates suck.